This is the Truth Network.
What is it that is so easy a child could do it, and yet it radically changes your life? And how can you draw near to the presence of God? Well, my friend, stay with us, listen, and learn.
You're listening to Until He Comes, a blend of prophetic and practical biblical studies with Dr. Greg Hennant, author of The Second Coming of Christ, His Appearing, His Return, Our Preparation. And now, author and teacher, Greg Hennant.
Welcome to the broadcast today, my friend. I'm so glad that you are with us, because we are continuing our study of the very important topic, I would say the vital topic, of giving thanks to God. Now, our text for this series is 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which says, in everything, that is in every situation, in every circumstance of life, good, bad, and in between, give thanks, that is, to God, for, or because, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The thankful Christian is the will of God incarnate. And it also means in this text that the situation you are in is the will of God. Yes, that situation you are in right now in your life, as you listen to my voice, you may have terrible health problems, but God is permitting that to teach you to call on Him for His mercies and see His healing hand. Or also, I would say simultaneously, to learn to be content in Him, with your relationship to Him, even when your physical status is far from what you desire. It's never easy, but God will give you grace. So in every situation of life, learn to give Him thanks. But thanksgiving, we will learn today, is easy. It is an easy way to receive God's help as well. Now, for our first point, the fact that thanksgiving is easy, I mean, I can just tell you right now, there's nothing easier than saying thank you to Jesus. I mean, what could possibly be easier than that? Anybody can do it. A PhD can do it, and a grade school child can do it. And you, my friend, right now where you are, you may be driving down the road listening to this broadcast as you pass through the Carolinas, or you may be up at Liberty University studying some field in which you hope to pursue a career, or you may be down in South Carolina, in Greenville, South Carolina, where you are working hard at your vocation, or you just may be out in the yard doing something randomly that needs to be done. So it's so easy for you to just say, thank you, Jesus, right where you are. Now, let's listen to Jesus as He discusses what is easy. Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You may be so heavy right now while you're listening to me. You just want to quit. Well, friend, don't quit. Just hold right where you are, because what we're going to talk about can save your life. It can turn it around. And Jesus continues, and I will give you rest. This is tranquility of heart, absence of anxiety, assurance that God is on the job and God is more than enough for whatever your situation is. He has more grace than you need. You know, He told the Apostle Paul when he was buffeted by a demonic spirit, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And if Paul could receive that word from the Lord, friend, right where you are, you can receive this word from the Lord that I'm giving you from Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Learn how Jesus thinks and how He lived when He was with us and how He is living now in the eternal world and will come back to this very earth, not too far off, to live again on this earth. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden, it is light. Now here, Jesus is inviting us to come into His yoke. This is typical language of that which would have been used in the first century when a rabbi was calling a disciple, calling a student, come and get into my yoke of instruction and lifestyle. Learn the way I think, what I teach, and how I live. And you practice that and pass it on to others. So Jesus, who, though he was a carpenter by his trade, a tecton in the Greek, which means one who works with stone and wood, at the same time, he was a rabbi. Unofficial, yes. He had not learned letters or the Old Testament books in the rabbinical schools of the day, the school of Shammai or the school of Hillel. No, he had not. But he had pored over the scriptures as a man in his synagogue and retained all of that word. Now, of course, you know, he was divine. But I believe his knowledge of the scripture was gained by poring over those texts that were kept in the synagogues. And that's how he came to that awesome knowledge of the word. So he was a rabbi, and he's calling us to come and get into my yoke. Come be joined with me. You could say conjoined. I think that's a fitting metaphor. A yoke joins two as one to work together in the field, and sometimes as slaves. So as a Christian, we are joined together with Jesus for our living and our working, as he directs, as he wills. And also, in a sense, we are love slaves of Christ. We voluntarily lay down our life to do whatever he wants. And here he says, look, my yoke, it is easy. Now, making this analogy to Thanksgiving, I'm saying that the yoke of Thanksgiving is easy. And I will add, nothing could be easier. Why wouldn't we do something that's easy to bring help to our soul and deliverance to our circumstances? Why would we not do it? Well, sometimes because we're proud. Sometimes because we want to work our way out of a problem. And friend, every time, you may be doing that right now. You may be trying to work your way out of a problem. You may be trying to help God fulfill his own promise. You cannot do that, my friend. And all that you do to help yourself will but hinder God's hand, because he alone can deliver you. Now, you hear that word from the Lord that I'm speaking to you. Think about what it means. You may need to stop writing emails to a person or stop giving them calls or texts to try to get on their case. Leave them alone. The Holy Spirit knows how to reach them. And just begin to give thanks to God right where you are. In the test, yes, for the test, because Ephesians 5:20 tells us to give thanks always, be giving thanks always for all things. And why can we do that? Because we know from Romans 8:28, we know God causes all things to work together for good. Yes, that situation you're in right now, it is not good. That situation your son or daughter is snared in right now, it is not good. But God is going to use it with other situations and circumstances and what other people are doing. He will work it together like a beautiful mosaic if you stay close to him and if you continue praying in childlike faith for that loved one, and he will work it out. So give thanks to him where you are. This yoke of thanksgiving is easy. You know, in our previous episode, we learned that thanksgiving releases God's hand to help us and to deliver us. So here, we're learning that it's easy to carry this yoke. Now, let's look at an example from the Old Testament to see more clearly just how easy thanksgiving is. We'll turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, and we'll read verses 9 through 14, the healing of the Syrian captain Naaman. Verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, And he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Now, he had heard about the man of God, and so he had come to his house to receive healing. So here he was. I can just see the scene right now, pulling up in his chariot, all with his royal-appearing armor on. He was a captain in the Syrian army. He was a chief military leader. And so he pulled up. This was a state visit, in a sense, to the house of the man of God. Verse 10 continues, "And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." That was simple enough, wasn't it? I mean, you know, go to the river and get in, and when you get out, your leprosy will be healed. But Naaman was wroth, he was angry, and he went away, and he said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Now, Naaman had his own ideas of how a man of God ought to behave. He had his own plan to be healed, but it wasn't God's plan. It wasn't God's way. Now, you know, friend, while you're listening to me right now, you may be just like Naaman. You want and need God to do something for you or for a loved one or someone at church, and you've got the plan. You know how to do it. You know what to do and how to do it. In a sense, you are unconsciously playing God. Don't play God. Don't try to dictate to the Almighty how he can and cannot come into your life, how he may and may not touch your loved one. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding. Then you will see God's hand. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Let God answer your prayer his way, my friend. It's easy. Naaman was about to learn this. So, after Naaman, in his anger, cried out and, in a sense, said, "I know how this man of God ought to come out and heal me. What's he doing telling me to go to that little river, Jordan?" So he said, "Are not Abana and Paphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and he went away in a rage. He was furious. You know, you may be angry right now, subconsciously, with the Lord, because he's not acting the way you want him to act. He's not coming to you to heal you the way you want him to heal you. He's not coming to your son or daughter to straighten them out the way you want him to.
This month, for a gift of any amount, receive Dr. Hennant's book, Gold Tried in the Fire. It is filled with spiritually rich biblical teachings, tested truths for trying times that will help you buy the gold tried in the fire Jesus challenged us to obtain in Revelation 3:18. This book will change your life. For a gift of $60 or more, we'll send you the complete 4-volume Hennant End Times Prophecy Collection, The Second Coming of Christ, The Tribulation Story, Revelation Notes, a verse-by-verse commentary on Revelation, and The Day of the Lord Commentary, which interprets all Old Testament prophecies and foreshadowings of the end times. And if you are a Logos Bible software user, you may purchase all 4 of these books from the Logos online bookstore. You may give your gift today by visiting the donation page at GregHennantMinistries.org or sending your checks to Greg Hennant Ministries, P.O. Box 788, High Point, North Carolina 27260, or by calling 336-882-1645. Now again, Dr. Hennant.
Well, let's continue the story. "And his servants came near, And they spoke to him, and they said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing," meaning some difficult thing, some challenging thing, "would you not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to you, wash and be clean?" So then he went down, and he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. That's a key phrase. He did what God told him to do through the prophet. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You know, this story is so wonderful. This great man, he was very popular, very powerful in his home nation of Syria. He had left his country, gone to another land, and he had, in his mind, humbled himself even to dare ask a Hebrew prophet for healing. And when he got there, the prophet didn't even come out and pay attention to him. He didn't make a big deal. Today, he wouldn't have taken selfies with him or posted his information on Facebook or the internet. No. The prophet just sent a little message out and said, "Now, go down to the river and dip yourself 7 times. It'll all be over. Go home. Just go home." So he was insulted. He had not received the royal treatment which he thought he was worthy of and which he was accustomed to getting in his home country. So these instructions were so simple, and when he finally yielded to the advice of his servants and went down and did the easy thing, immediately his affliction was gone. What an amazing example this is. Friend, God's ways are simple. They're not complex, you know. God's not going to tell you the 35 steps to deliverance. No. You know, in a previous episode, we talked about Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15. God's instructions there were very clear. "Offer thanks unto God, and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee." So there, as we learned, thanksgiving sets the process of deliverance in motion. So this is just simply adding to that. Now, thanksgiving also enables us to draw near God. Oh, what an important lesson this is. You know, God is there with you all the time. Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He said, "I will be with thee always, even unto the end of the age." And Hebrews tells us to be content with such things as we have, for he hath said, "I will never leave thee." That means that we should be so content with our fellowship with Jesus, not just our relationship, not just because we have right standing, but because we're daily fellowshipping with him. We should be so content, so permeated with the peace and power of God that the things of this world, when they rush in upon us to make us anxious, make us fearful, lead us to a panic, we hold up our hand in a sense and say, hold on just a minute. "Thus far shalt thou come and no further. I will not let this anxiety reach the spirit that is within me. I will not let my soul be put to confusion with fear and anguish and fretfulness. No. I will not, because I trust in the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. My shepherd will take care of every problem that meets me in the way." So, thanksgiving enables us to draw near to God and sense the reality of his presence that's there all the time. You know, sometimes when I pray and I'm seeking the Lord in the morning, and I learned this from a Assemblies of God missionary, Walter Butler. He was an amazing man of God, and he was on the faculty of Eastern Bible Institute at the time in Green Lane, Pennsylvania. And then he began to take missionary trips in the 1950s and ended up visiting 150 countries in the world. But I learned this lesson from him. He would say, sometimes in the early morning when he was seeking God, and he perhaps felt dry. He didn't sense the presence of God. He didn't feel the permeating peace of God. He didn't feel that blessed heaviness of the hand of God on him. But he would just say, Lord, I know you're here. So please go ahead and let me sense your presence, because I believe you're here based upon your word. You know, we walk by faith and not by sight. And so he said that often when he would say that to the Lord. Then almost immediately he would sense the presence of God, that wonderful peace that brings a refilling of strength, a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, the Holy Spirit lives in us. We know that. But don't you want a fresh anointing? Right now you may need a fresh anointing. Psalm 23 states, Thou wilt anoint me with fresh oil. David was anointed three times in his life. Three times, as a lad, as the king of Judah and Benjamin, and then later as king of all Israel. You and I need fresh anointings every day. I ask for one. I come before the presence of God, and I actually pray for the fear of the Lord, the awe of the Lord to descend upon me. Why? Because it is the fear of the Lord that begins wisdom. It is the fear of the Lord that begins knowledge. It is as we stand in awe of God, and I will say, only as we do that, that we can offer praise and worship that is acceptable to God. There is no other way for this to occur. Friend, are you walking in the fear of God today? Now, do you know what that means? It means not that you're afraid of God, but rather that you stand in awe of his awesomeness, and as a result, you naturally believe God, obey God, and worship him. And what is worship? Worship is a bodily and audible expression of your sense of God's worthiness. If God was not worthy, we would not offer worship. But worship is our expression, bodily and audibly, of our awe, our sense of wonder at the great God who created this universe and who gave us natural birth and who later gave us a new birth in Christ. So walk in the fear of God. And I would say to you, if you're in disobedience today in your life, if you're knowingly disobeying the word of God, the call of God, the guidance of God, then you, my friend, are in trouble. Because when you're outside of the parameters of the fear of the Lord, you are subjecting yourself to an attack from the enemy, Satan, who always wants to bring you down. You're doing so, and it need not be. You know, you're going to have enough tests as it is. You're going to have enough trials and adversity as it is. You're going to have enough raging rivers of trouble and torrents of pressure. Anyway, why bring extra trouble into your life through disobedience? Get out of that wrong relationship. Stop doing what you know is wrong and sinning against your conscience and the goodness and holiness of God. Now, let me give you a text for this. We will see from James 4, verse 8. James says simply, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Again, we know God is always with us. He said in Jeremiah, do not I fill heaven and earth? We know he's with us. He said he would be with us always. Nevertheless, when we take the time to get alone with him, knowing us present, in our own room, Jesus said closet, meaning your private chamber, and we shut the door and shut out the things of this world and begin to bless the Lord and thank the Lord for what he did for you yesterday and last week and last month. And you begin to sing into him and worship. You are drawing near to God. You are obeying this text in James 4, verse 8. And you will discover as you give him thanks in that secret place that he will reveal himself to you, as Jesus promised in John 14, 21 and 23, where he said, in effect, He who loves me will keep my word, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Those verses together, verses 21 and 23, give us this revelation that he wants to manifest himself. That is, make himself known or sensed to our bodily senses. So it's a great blessing. You don't have to feel God to believe in him. Oh, I agree with that. But I think he wants to manifest himself to each one of us every day and multiple times through the day if we will stay close. And there is no easier way under the sun than just giving thanks to him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you did yesterday. Father, thank you for this new door you've opened. Thank you for this new relationship you've given me. Thank you for the new opportunity you've given me on my job. Father, thank you how you turned this person who was had an adversarial attitude toward me. You've changed their mind, and now they're friendly. Thank you. You can thank him for 1,000 things if you're just willing, my friend. And as you do that, every time you draw near to Jesus, I promise you, according to James 4:8, and also I have lived it. I will speak from my experience. I promise you, he is there waiting right now to meet you, yes, you, in the secret place of his presence. Please do so, my friend, and enjoy closeness to God by giving him thanks at all times. We are so glad that you were with us today. In our next episode, we will learn that Thanksgiving keeps us abiding in the vine and helps us adjust quickly to the adversities of life.
If this message has blessed you, tell your friends, and please consider helping us stay on the air by sending your tax-deductible donation to Greg Hennett Ministries. Also, remember, you may download the Until He Comes podcast from your preferred podcast app. May you walk closely with Christ and trust and obey him in your daily tests of faith and patience until he comes.
This is the Truth Network.